Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning once again. I recently ran across a quotation from Albert Einstein, and he said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant, and that we have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." You know, that statement reminds me of a story of a nurse who was responsible for caring for a patient. And he was doing pretty well after undergoing what they consider to be minor surgery. I don't know if there is such a thing, but minor surgery. In fact, this patient was scheduled to be discharged the very next day. However, the moment the nurse started her shift, she had a bad feeling in her gut, at least that's the way that she described it. For some reason, unclear to her rational mind, she kept checking on the patient. Each time she checked, the patient simply said, "You know, I'm completely fine. I'm good. You don't have to check on me." But late one morning, the patient went for a walk around the hospital. And the nurse said that something told her to walk with him. And the nurse said later that she was glad she did, because the gentleman passed out while walking the grounds that was somewhat removed from the hospital building. Apparently, he had a serious and dangerous heart condition that no one was aware of. And the nurse was told that if she had not been there, he probably would have died. You know, that day, the nurse said she believed there was something particularly in tune with her intuitive nature, and that she tapped into something that she can't describe, but it guided her to check on that patient and to accompany him on his walk. And that was something she normally would never do. Well, today we're talking about intuit, whereby we use our intuition to grow into the great power and presence and love of God. I was doing some research about the ancient land of Kemet, also known as Egypt. And as many of you know that have researched it or been there, there's a Sphinx there. And according to the Greeks, the base of that particular monument represented the animalistic part of us. And the face was human, and the eyes were staring out into the divine. And that the Sphinx, according to the Greeks, symbolizes that we move through an animal or humanistic stage into our intuitive knowing vibration, where we no longer are trying to figure anything out. Instead, we're thinking the thoughts of God. We're intuiting the thoughts of God because our faculty of intuition is open. Very often we've been taught to try to figure things out with our rational mind, as Einstein said, as if our mind were somehow separate from the mind of God. But if there's only one mind, and that mind is the mind of God, it's indistinguishable from our mind. And our mind is just an individualized expression of the only mind that there is. When we realize that, we know we don't have to waste our time trying to figure something out. We just need to be available to what God has already figured out. Intuit it, see it, capture it. Listen until that which is already in the mind of God begins to impress itself upon you and me so that we catch it, we embody it, we know it. Sometimes we may go, oh, wow, an idea came to me, an insight came, a revelation came. Oh, I had a dream. Oh, a song was there. Oh, I had an intuitive flash, and I knew everything that I needed to do was already going to be there for me. Or we may be saying in a feeling that, you know, in my gut, in my heart, in my soul, I know if I just do so and so, everything is going to be okay. You know, I think about this in a small way as I remember when I was in high school many years ago. And I was taking a final exam for a math class, and there was one particular question I had no idea how to answer. And of course, rather than just leave it blank, I decided that I would just put something down on the paper. Anything, I figured, would be better than just leaving the space blank. And I remember that suddenly, out of the blue, an idea hit me. And I was led to write down an equation that I had no inkling of what it meant or where it came from. And since I had nothing to lose, in my mind, I just plugged in the numbers into the equation, finished the exam, and didn't think any more about it. You know, when I got the exam back, the test back, not only was the answer correct, but the teacher told me that it was an equation he had never seen before. Of course, I had not ever seen it before either. I just came up with it seemingly out of the blue, but of course I didn't tell him that. It was just kind of came to me in an intuitive flash. You know, I like to say that I always follow my intuition. The reality is, most of the time I don't. You know, oftentimes I let my rational mind overwhelm or overtake, you know, those intuitive flashes that I have that time to time come to me. But in that particular moment, as I look back, I realized I was not trying to figure anything out. I wasn't trying to solve the problem because I could not. In that moment, I was available with a deep listening that allowed me, and it can allow anyone for that matter, to capture ideas from the divine that are always there for you and for me. Because this presence that we call the divine, the force, God, has the answer even before we know what the question is. There's a statement in the book of Isaiah, the 65th chapter and 24th verse, that says, even before they call, I had already answered you. I recall reading a news article many years ago. And in this article, it noted that scientists had made a magnificent breakthrough and discovery. This particular scientist had taken the cells of the body parts and created mathematical equations out of the cells of the DNA. And then he translated those cells into musical notes. And when he took the heart cells, for an example, he turned them into mathematical notes and converted them into music. And that music was some of the most beautiful love songs ever written by the great composers of all time. I think the message is, we don't have to figure anything out. It's already done. Just like the great composers and the great arrangers, they listen deeply and they hear. They hear the music of the spheres encoded in all of us. And all they do is give it their interpretation of what is already in the mind of the Spirit of God. I think the lesson for us is that today we can dedicate ourselves to deep listening. And then we become aware in our prayer life that we're not putting any pressure on God to deliver us anything, to give us anything. And I remember in my old way of thinking before I got into this work, this kind of spiritual work, I believe that one prayed, you had to put pressure on God. So you might go to your altar or whatever prayer approach you may have, you know, and say, God, this is going on in my life. You know, these are my problems. These are my concerns. Do something about this. And we may wait and we think we're putting pressure on God and say, God, I'm checking my watch or checking my phone. I'm looking at you, God. It ain't happening yet. We may think we're putting pressure on the Spirit of God, but in reality, as we grow, as we develop, as we unfold spiritually, we come out of that immature way of looking at the universe or the force or God. Instead, we understand that we are to put pressure on ourselves to lift our octave to a total exposure to the presence, a total exposure to the Spirit. And as we do, we come into harmony with what is already created in the mind of God. Remember that biblical statement, before they call, I've already answered them. I've already answered you, the presence is telling us. If you imagine, and I don't want you to imagine too hard because, you know, there's a lot of spiritual, highly spiritual people with involved in the ancient wisdom teachings. And so your imagination is pretty finely tuned and powerful. But imagine for a moment, say you had a knee injury that was healing and you were aware you could still walk or maybe you could even run a little bit or at least walk kind of fast. But you're also aware that the knee was healing. But that particular awareness that you have about it would inform you how you would walk or how fast you would be walking. And you would constantly be aware of that. It would be in the background of your mind that it was healing. So you wouldn't make any sudden moves or leap over tall buildings or short ones for that matter, or try to hop over a fence or run up the stairs too fast, because you wouldn't want to stymie the healing process that is taking place. Your attention would be informed by the fact that the healing process was going on within your knee, and you would always be somewhat aware of it. And so during the course of your day, you would know this. So whenever you got in or out of a car, or whenever you went up stairs, whenever you stepped off a curve, you would just be aware of it. It would be kind of in the background until it became really at one in your consciousness. That awareness was just there. You knew it was there. You knew it was healing, and you knew instinctively what to do. In the same sense, you want to be totally exposing your consciousness to the presence of God so that all day long there is nothing that you do or don't do that is not involved in your intention of being informed by the presence of God first and foremost. So that everything that you're about to say, everything you're about to do, or anything you're about to write, or act upon, you're constantly thinking and communing with the presence of God first and foremost. And when you do, your life is totally exposed to this presence, to this force, to this love, to this friendly universe. And the pressure is upon you totally to expose your life to God. And I think when we do this, we make a magnificent discovery. We discover that say when you go to your formal prayer time, your formal prayer time is a heightened awareness of what you have been doing all day. It's not different. It's not something different from other parts of your day. In other words, you don't have a secular part of your day or a material part of your day where your mind is running rampant based upon the highly charged thought forms of the world and your attention is all over the place. And then you try to heal all of that by going into prayer, and your prayer life is totally different from the rest of your life. No, not at all. When you have that kind of awareness of this presence, you have a total exposure to the Spirit on a regular basis. Your prayer life simply becomes a heightened awareness, acknowledgement of your regular life. They're one and the same. That means that you're praying without ceasing. That's what that statement says, that you're in that state all the time. And it keeps getting more and more pure, more and more profound, deeper, because that's your way of life. Therefore, you'll never find yourself trying to pressure or put pressure on God to solve a problem. Instead, you will have a heightened awareness of what God is. And your intuitive faculty is heightened. And you see more clearly the will and the divine solutions, the divine order that is always there, even if it doesn't square with your surface mind, even if it doesn't square with our rational mind. You don't totally understand it even. Something begins to take you over, where you see beyond time, you see beyond space, you see beyond your little circumstance or situation, and you begin to have an eternal point of view where you begin to live in that space. You begin to live in the nowness of the moment. And the decisions that you make in life, the commitments that you make in life are made from a big picture. They're made from the eternal point of view. You know, I was recently having a conversation with my very good friend, Jim Lee. Many of you know him. He and I started ministerial school together. We've been kind of buddies for a long time. And he was talking about he was going to have a presentation to give at, I think, the Great Lakes region in a little while. And we were talking about how we can apply the teachings to all the stuff that's going on in our world today. The political stuff that's going on, the unrest that's going on, the racial divides, the attention that we're tending to all of the things regarding climate change or climate emergency, if you really want to get honest about it. And what we realize is that all of this is going on in order to activate something within us, in order for us to evolve to our next stage of our evolution. So that we begin to see from an eternal point of view, and we do it much like the Native Americans when they make any kind of commitment. Because what they think about are the seven generations that are to follow them in their decision making. They don't think about just what they're going to do today and how it's going to affect them in their individual or private family or their personal lives. They think generationally. It's more of an eternal perspective. And in that same sense, when you and I expose our life to the Spirit on a regular basis by contemplating, by communing with this spiritual presence, there is a heightened awareness in our prayer work. So it becomes a new platform or a new plateau for you and me to leap off from. And as we do, more and more and more of our divine self is being delivered on a day-to-day basis. Understand that you and I live in an awareness of gratitude when we do that. We live in awareness of thanksgiving when we do that. And that becomes the vibration. That becomes and leads to inspiration. I've come to understand over time that intuition and inspiration are pretty much the same thing. The inspired thought of God, the thought of God moving through you and through me, is literally inspiration. And if you and I can contemplate moments in our life where we had an aha moment, when suddenly we knew something we didn't know before, where suddenly we saw the whole picture. I think there was a movie by about Beethoven. I think he's Amadeus. I think that's the one. I'm not sure. And it would say that Beethoven sometimes would see the whole symphony in a flash that he was wanted to come up with. And it might take him a month to get it down on paper. I had similar experience maybe when preparing for a talk or writing. I might see it in a flash, and then I have to go through the process of capturing it in order to speak it or to write it. Now, I have to say that oftentimes it gets lost in translation because my rational mind takes over. Or maybe you have found the experience in which you caught a song. and it was nagging you to get out. You caught a picture of something that you were going to do in your life. That was a moment of intuition. That was a moment of inspiration. Your octave was high. You know, in my own life, I remember when I knew I had to go to ministerial school. I was resisting it for a long time, as many of you know, and in that moment, I saw a flash of a vision where I could no longer resist. And I knew exactly what to do. In the same way, when you get an intuitive hit, you know what you need to do. You don't need to sit around thinking how you're going to solve your problems. Because in the mind of God, those problems do not exist because they're vibrating too low. And our role is to stay inspired to keep our intuitive faculty high and vibrate on a higher level where all the solutions are. This is why we pray. This is why we participate in fellowship and programs such as Faith in Action, which we're going to start in a couple weeks, so that you and I can remain inspired and see the way God sees to help stay inspired. There's always a practical tip I like to give. You know, in the morning, one practical tip is simply look in the mirror and say, I am inspired, even if you don't feel it at the moment. Keep saying it until you get a little inspiration, and then say, I stay inspired. And then you say, I am inspired, and I stay inspired. I am inspired. I stay inspired. In those moments of inspiration, you begin to see that God's eyes are too pure to behold anything less than that, because God only sees spiritual, magnificent, brilliant ideas that is creating in its own image and likeness, and we get to demonstrate it in a visible way. You know, I've been going on, so let me close out by sharing this. You know, when we're inspired, the unlimited energy of the Spirit that comes from the embodying of spiritual ideas take us over. They take over our life. And you and I are in tune with infinite presence. You are in tune with enlightenment. You're in tune with cosmic awareness. It all kicks in. So you intuit into it. When you do, you're not figuring out anything. You're listening and you're seeing. You're a contributor, a radiator, a shiner in tune with the infinite Spirit of God, which is the only Spirit that there is. It's part of your life. And it's a call upon you. It's nudging you, just as a song nudges an artist until it gets out. Just as a portrait or a picture nudges a painter until they finally get it out. Just as a story nudges someone until they finally write it down. Understand that love is nudging you today. Peace is nudging you today. Creativity is nudging you today. Compassion and kindness is nudging you today. Forgiveness is seeking to come through your heart today. There is a call waiting for you to take a stand and say yes to it, to follow that something that nurse had followed when she helped that man who had the heart attack. I think you and I and all of us are here to stand up and be a spotlight, to be a neon sign for God, to be a brilliant light for the Spirit, contributing greatly to this planet that is hungering and thirsting after truth, that's hungering and thirsting after peace, that's hungering and thirsting after joy and harmony in a language and in a way that we all can understand. Remember, you are the answer. It's part of your DNA. Because of who you are, because of the essence of the presence, you understand that when you listen, when you make yourself available, your intuitive faculty kicks in, you live life from the highest point of view. And you're never the same. Individuals may come up to you and say, "What happened? I remember you 10 years ago. You look younger today. What happened?" And you say, "Nothing happened. This is who I was all the time, but maybe at that time I didn't know. You didn't know it. But now I know it. It's shining through me. This is how it's always been. It's simply gone back to the source. I've gone back to the source. And now I sing praises to the Spirit of the living God. It's all right there within us. It's here. It's now. So deeply listen to it. Embody it. Feel it. Hear it. Intuit into it. And see your life unfold in a most magnificent way. And so it is. And so we let it be. Amen.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are. One heart.